This is episode 46 of the Reading Coast podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For September 2014, we're discussing The Abbey by Chris Culver. So hi, this is Millennia in Florida.
And Roberta in Georgia.
And Roberta and I are two members of the Reading Cove who are here to discuss our book club's 166th Cove pick, The Abbey by Chris Culver. And this was chosen by Cove member Miriam, who's out in Texas, I believe. So we have wrapped up our discussion in the group of The Abbey, pretty much. I think I saw Catherine post some comments today on it. But for the most part, we've all discussed it, and everyone, you know, overall, it was enjoyed. I think the overall grade was a B minus, so we all enjoyed it. What did you think about The Abbey?
Well, I liked it. I mean, everything's going to have its pluses and minuses. There's not too many perfect books, but overall, I enjoyed it. I thought he did a really good job with the pacing. I felt like it was suspenseful and pretty fast-paced. And, you know, any type of mystery or thriller, I like that. And he had enough twists and turns without totally losing you, but enough to make you kind of surprise, at least me. I think I've said on one of my posts that I don't know what it is. I've read mysteries for years and years, and it's easy to fool me. You know, some people say, oh, well, I figured out what happened, like, so many pages into the book. And I thought, well, I guess I'm just not, you know, good at stuff like that. I never have to worry about competing with Sherlock Holmes, you know, modern detectives on TV, because I guess I don't get it or whatever. But I still enjoyed it, and it gave a new twist to the typical detective or type story.
Yeah, it was the story of Ash Rashid, and his niece is killed under some really strange circumstances, and the police just are like, whatever. And so he is a former detective who's now in law school, and he decides, you know what, he can't let this go. He wants to find out what happened with his niece, because she died under some circumstances, and that wasn't a side of her that he knew. Like, I think her mother was aware of some stuff going on with her, but he didn't know her to run with that crowd or whatever. So he starts investigating, and that's when it lost me, because once he starts investigating, I'm bored. I don't like police procedurals, because I feel like, you know, just get me to the end of the investigation. You know, just take me to the end of, fast forward to the end of the investigation where everybody starts spilling their guts and we wrap this up, you know? Because in this case, it was Karen, right? At the end, she starts spilling everything and boom, you have your story. So we, you know, I didn't need to go through all the investigation. So it started off strong for me. I was really pulled into it initially, and I liked his writing style, but I don't fault the investigative part. I think that's just the genre for me. I feel like once you read one, you kind of read them all, sort of. And then, you know, just get me to the end where we find out who done it. And in this case, she really hadn't done it. It was more of an accident. And I didn't really fully understand that. So Rachel drinks this blood stuff or whatever. It's the formula that, because she has like this vendetta against the Chinese for killing her two family members or something. Karen does.
Uh-huh.
And then she was trying to transport this stuff, and then Rachel accidentally drank it? Is that what happened?
But that's what it seemed like to me, but, you know, weirder things can happen.
Well, I know.
I feel like sometimes weird things can happen in real life, so I could see that. I mean, yeah, it you have to make certain dramatic twists and things sometimes. But that's the way I think a lot of these police procedurals go, whether it be in novels or even on TV.
Yeah, it's true. Right. And nothing's what it seems. And with Ash, the investigation on his part felt, and I said this in the group, felt kind of forced for his character when this was his niece. It wasn't his daughter or his wife. And when the threat started to, you know, when his family got in danger, his wife's pregnant and they have a daughter, and he is still going. I feel like it took him too long to finally decide, you know what, Rachel, I tried to find out what happened to you, but now my life's in danger, my wife's life in danger, and my daughter, I can't. He finally did get to that point, but of course, right. by then it was too late. Now yeah. Karen was after him. So it was like, no, I feel like realistically, when he started realizing, when Robbie was killed, and it started to get really dangerous, and he Ash realized he was being followed, and, you know, the police are coming and breaking down his door, and the one detective was insisting he stop, you know, and yeah. he just kept going. It's like, okay, I get it. You want justice for your sister and for your niece, but at what cost?
Right.
At what cost? If it was his daughter, that would be an editor for the day thing that I would make it be his own daughter who died. Because then I could see him taking whatever risk to get answers, needing yeah. that. You know, that would be the drive, because I need to find out what happened to my daughter, even if we're, you know, they threaten us. I can't stop. I'll risk my life for that. But I didn't understand him continuing. I didn't see enough motivation in the story there.
Yeah, you figure he either had to have a extra amount of OCD or something else to keep pushing him.
Or just stupidity. And his character just didn't come across like he was that kind of stupid.
No.
You know?
Yeah, he was, you know, he was an intelligent man and
yeah.
good at figuring things out. But he just seemed like he was thwarted at every turn. But I do have to agree with you on that point that overall I liked it, but I don't know that most people would go that far to put somebody else at risk, because a lot mm-hmm. of times you see these detectives or former detectives do crazy thing that they really have nothing to lose or
exactly
just about, but because they're sort of loners or they've messed up their relationships because they have gotten too much in the police work and let their personal life totally slide. You see that a lot mm-hmm. in TV shows or movies or books, even, that they kind of portray the lone wolf type, but Ash isn't that way. So it seemed like he did take a little while to get to the point where thinking, oh, you know, this yeah. this is just really too dangerous for all of us.
Was he not like in the hospital laid up when he finally made that decision or something?
Right. Yeah, he had to really get serious consequences befall him before it's like ding, ding.
Like, maybe we need to stop now. Maybe yeah. we need to prioritize here.
But like I said, he was kind of one of these people that are, you know, dogged and determined, so to say. But at the same time, that can just get to be too much for anybody. You have to know when it's time to not put yourself and those you love at risk.
You know, some of our group members felt that it was understandable. Like, I think Faith and Miriam was saying, you know, he's a Muslim. It's a Muslim family. And, you know, he could have felt that his niece was like his daughter.
Right.
And, you
yeah,
know, in that sense.
Too. So we
right.
not always see things the way a different culture sees things, you know, about the honor and the mm-hmm. The closer family ties and all. So, I mean, I think that could have been part of it. But at the same time, I think he was Americanized enough to realize that I could lose my life and my family in trying to take care of the honor of the rest of my family.
Yeah. And he did, they did end up being kidnapped. His wife, Hannah.
Right.
And their daughter, Karen, ended up kidnapping them. And if she were interested in killing them, they'd be dead.
Oh yeah. They would have already been dead.
And it was like, come on, dude, you had sign after sign that this is where it was headed. And you were still willing to risk that.
Yeah.
You know, and it just was just foolish. But to me, it was foolish, but you know, you need your book. So right. I just would have changed it to his daughter. They could have had an older daughter.
Yeah, someone closer.
Closer, like, and then I would have been able to see why this man was willing to risk their whole family to pursue, find out what happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then Olivia, we got to talk about her. So he finds out, Olivia was his partner at one time, and Ash finds out, you know, late in the book that she was not batting for his team.
Right.
At all.
Right.
And that was a surprise. You know, some people say they never really trusted her from the get-go. And I thought they had an affair. That I thought that was going to come out later in the book. Because when he mentioned, oh, they had been partners, you know, and then he didn't say anything else. And I was like, uh-oh, okay, there must be more there. But no, it turns out, no.
No, I think it's just they were very close as partners. And, you know, a lot of these people as partners, that they it becomes like a person that's part of their family because they're with them so much of the time, especially right. in police work. That so I really do see how he would have completely trusted her with her his life and everything from the past. And then for her to betray him, that was just devastating. It'd be devastating for anybody, but especially for him because he had trusted her so much.
Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I was saying in the group, I didn't get her motivation. Like it was, it's, I guess it's supposed to be all about money.
Right.
Like she's being paid to be, you know, a crooked cop. Right. But
well, that happens a lot in real life too, that people turn dirty, so to speak, because they don't.
For money.
For money, because they, I don't think anybody in law enforcement makes nearly what they're, they should make it for the amount of risk and other stuff they have to deal with. So sometimes money is a big temptation. You think, well, you know, I could live a little better and wouldn't have so much stress if I could just have a little bit more money.
Yeah. And Olivia, I guess it makes her character, makes me want to know more about her character because we only see her from Ash's perspective when
right.
we interact with her. And it just left this sort of, like, how could he have read her so wrong after being her partner for however long they were partners? And then all this time, was she supposedly trying to help him with this investigation? And help him, you know, shield him from the department because he's not supposed to be investigating.
Right.
And all of this stuff. And she's like his inside man and stuff. And it's like he just completely was snowballed by her and fooled. And it's like, okay, so that makes us want to know, well, this Olivia chick, what's she about? You know, let's get
right.
in her head. Because, wow, if she can so thoroughly fool him, which, you know, he was a seasoned detective himself.
Yeah.
Then she has to be something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people were really surprised at that twist. So it was
oh,
a clever
yeah.
twist that she was actually on the wrong side of things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, actually helped get his family caught and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that you don't expect that of people, you know, in that position. So that's why it was one of the bigger shocks.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was all the, you know, vampire lore and all the Russian, not Russian, was it? Yeah, there were
yeah,
Russian mobsters.
Yeah.
And they're all duking it out for their territory. And, you know, this is set in Indianapolis. And I thought it was interesting that they set up their base there, just like, you know, UPS and FedEx or whatever sets up their hubs in that city because it's, you know, 8 hours from everywhere else in the country.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting. So
yes.
It's not just, you know, legitimate businesses.
Right. Everybody.
It's good for everybody.
Not, yeah.
Equal opportunity.
Right, right.
And the grit definitely came through in the story, I thought. You know, being out there in the streets with him as he was going around, you know, going to that club. The Abbey was referring to a club.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would read this author again, especially if he stepped a little out of this genre, maybe,
uh-huh.
And maybe wrote something a little different. But yeah, I did enjoy his writing style.
Yeah, I liked his writing style. Like I say, in his pacing, too. It
yeah.
wasn't too fast and it wasn't too slow. It was just right. It kept
yeah.
turning the pages and, you know, kept you engaged. Even if you didn't agree with everything, it still had a good style to it. It's
yeah,
just,
yeah. It did. It did. And I did get a decent sense of Ash's character.
Right.
And a lot of the members in the group, you know, immediately ran on to read the second book, The Outsider, I think it's called.
Right.
And like, I think Catherine immediately started reading the next book and Kim and, you know, there's a few people who really, really, really enjoyed this. So it was a good pick. Miriam picked
it. Well, I know we talked about it some in the Cove, too, that the thing that was sort of ironic about him being very good about doing his prayers, you know, he's a good Muslim. He did his prayers every day, and I think that's very good. And he was a truly peaceful man. He wasn't one of these extremists of any religion where he was out to do any body harm or have any type of revenge thing. But it was just sort of ironic that he had this drinking problem when drinking is definitely against, you know, the Muslim thing.
Yeah, but it was interesting, and it added dimension to his character because you could see that in some things, you know, you could see the influence of his religion and the importance it had to him. But there were some things he just kind of, just like any other religion, there were just some things he just kind of like blew off and was like, ah, whatever.
Yeah, well, we're all of us human. We're all flawed, you know, to some extent or the other. And I could certainly see with him, I think he might have trouble later because his drinking wasn't just like a social drinking or a few here and there, that he really did have a problem.
Yeah.
And they even, I forget which character, but someone was trying to tell him that he needed to see about going to the meetings. It's like, oh, I don't have a problem.
Right.
He couldn't see it for himself. But he could, you know, he could justify it when he was talking about the children being killed, that he could justify drinking because why shouldn't he drink if all these other horrible things were going on in the world?
Exactly.
And it's kind of in character, unfortunately, with people in law enforcement, because not only do they have it in books and TV shows, but you can read the statistics that there are a lot of people that are in law enforcement that end up becoming alcoholics, mm-hmm. whether they get it under control or not, or are able to go on or end up losing their job because of that, because there is so much stress. I can't even imagine, you know, having a job where you have to deal with life and death situations and deal with like some of the dregs of society, so to speak, mm-hmm. that, you know, people that were totally psychopaths or sociopaths, it would be hard. You would need something to help you balance that out. You would hope it would be some kind of nice hobby or doing something else. But unfortunately, you know, since it's so easy to get out there and legal is, you know, alcohol is a good way for, I guess, for a lot of people, they fear they can kind of numb themselves. And well, it's a shame.
It's a part of the culture. I think it's a part of the culture of that profession. Yeah. Unfortunately. So it's like if your, you know, coworkers are all going to drink at the bar or, you know, hang out at this one's house and it's all about the liquor. It's, you know, it's like, it's a part of the culture. And if you, you seem the oddball if you're not doing that.
Right. They probably make fun of you. So yeah, it's real easy to get pulled into it and end up having a serious problem like he did. And not being able to acknowledge your problem because you think, oh, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And it takes a strong person to stand on their own and say, you know what? No, you guys go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done. It's not everybody has that.
No, it would be tough for anybody. But yeah, like I said, after all, and now even more so, you think after all he's been through and he, you know, lost his niece and he's almost lost his family, almost, you know, got killed himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'll have to wait till I get round to the other book to see what happens with him. But that's a good thing, too. They kind of left some things up in the air where you think, well, I'd like to know about how he handles things going forward from here. So
yeah, and about what happened to Olivia, because we didn't get any closure as to.
No, it's kind of up in the air. You don't want to be mean, but you kind of want her to get her just desserts.
Exactly. You definitely want her to get what's coming. Because she's definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
We don't like to see the bad guys get away with it. All right. So that is our discussion of The Abbey by Chris Culver. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us chat about it. As always, leave us your comments below and let us know what you think. And stay tuned for our next episode. We will be discussing The Winter People by Jennifer McMahon. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Jennifer McMahon. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.